This is WBAA. I'm Greg Kostraba. Rachel Barton Pine will be performing Felix Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto with the Lafayette Symphony Orchestra tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Long Center in downtown Lafayette. And we have Rachel Barton Pine in the studio. Welcome. So glad you could spend some time with us today.
Great to be here.
Why don't we start at the beginning. What started your fascination with the violin?
Well, when I was 3 years old, I saw some middle school-aged girls playing violin in my church. And they had on the most beautiful long dresses, and I was also really intrigued by the sound of the violin. So I asked my parents for a violin, and, well, they didn't take me very seriously at first, but I kept asking, and there was a teacher in the neighborhood that summer, just a few blocks down the street, so my parents figured, oh, what the heck, we'll let her try it out. And I fell in love with it right away, and it just became my whole identity to the point where, by the time I was in third grade, my school principal actually suggested that I stop going to school because I was going to class all day, coming home, doing my homework, and then practicing the rest of the afternoon, going to rehearsals and concerts, and it was really intense. And as soon as I started homeschooling, I could do my practicing during school hours, and the academics, of course, take a lot less time when you're doing it on your own. So I could play with my friends in the afternoon, and I actually had a more normal childhood that way.
So you're one of the earlier homeschool.
Well, exactly. It's pretty fascinating how things have changed growing up in Chicago. I went to a music school that was out in, the northern suburbs, and I was the one and only homeschooler in my teacher's entire studio, and now about half their studio is homeschooling. It's become a much more popular trend for kids that are serious about a particular special subject to sort of custom make their education based on their interests. And so that was really great, and started soloing with orchestras when I was about 7 years old, and I've been doing that ever since.
That's wonderful. So, and you've decided to stay with it, obviously, and you do such a wide variety of music. There's the standard repertoire, that the Mendelssohn and the Brahms violin concerto, things like that, and you play thrash metal and early music with a trio Settecento. What got you interested in playing such that variety of styles?
I actually think it was the homeschooling, because having the freedom to kind of custom make our own curriculum, where instead of doing, an hour of math, an hour of history, an hour of science, an hour of literature or whatever every day, instead, I would follow my interests. Obviously, I had to learn everything required by the end of high school, but I could really do it in whatever order I chose. So, for example, the summer before freshman year, I was really into math, and I did the entirety of my high school math in 3 months that summer. And then I didn't touch my math book for a couple years, and that was totally fine. Whatever I was interested in, I would just go really deep into it. And I started to use that approach with my music studies as well, and I've just never stopped, where if I'm interested in a particular area of music history or a particular musical style, a particular composer, I'll just go to the library, get books, get recordings, seek out experts. There's always more to learn. More than a lifetime's worth. I will never be bored for a moment.
So you played violin in orchestra. You played with orchestras. Did you play in orchestras in high school? How did those years kind of develop and make you bloom with your
definitely. I think it's really important, even for somebody who aspires to be a soloist, who might have the skill level to be able to play that repertoire. Careers don't always work out in the direction that you might have anticipated. I have been lucky to be able to do my primary work as a touring soloist, playing the great violin concertos with orchestras around the world. But there is no guarantee that that would work. And so I definitely wanted to get education in the areas of chamber music and orchestra section work so that if I didn't become a soloist, I would still be able to earn my living as a violinist and enjoy playing the music that I loved. And as it turns out, doing chamber music and doing orchestral work was actually very beneficial in my development as a soloist, because I feel like I'm a much better violinist playing the Brahms violin concerto, having done the Brahms symphonies, having done the Brahms string quartets and piano trios. It really gives you a much more well-rounded approach to understanding music.
Talk about your transition from being a student of the violin to becoming a professional. It's something that for some people it happens overnight. For some people it's just slow and steady as they go, and they get more and more performances with orchestras in larger cities and the like. How did your career transition from being a student to being a professional?
Yeah, well, my teachers weren't the kind of connected professors who could just pick up the phone and get me a deal with a manager or, have a conductor come and listen to me. So I went the competition route and started, of course, with local competitions when I was a little kid, on to national and then international competitions between the ages of 16 and 18. And, that, of course, helps to launch your career and get you some visibility, and then recordings result and ultimately management and, the natural progression of things. I remember very distinctly having a lesson with one of my teachers when I was 17, and I played some Bach, which has been such an important part of my life for so long. And in fact, it's the Bach competition where I got my gold medal. I was playing some Bach in my lesson, and my professor said, I really don't have anything left to say to you about Bach. Have you been dating enough lately? And this was her way of saying, it's important to practice all those hours, but if you don't get out and live a real life too, then you won't develop as a person and have anything to bring to your music. And, that was also a very important reminder, to have a balanced life, which I've definitely done ever since. My husband comes with me on the road, and now our daughter does too. But, I started, of course, doing concerts as an advanced student, if you will, when I was young, soloing with professional orchestras, but still doing during my student years. With the other work, though, stuff like playing string quartets for weddings or background music, or subbing in the sections of local orchestras. I started doing that stuff when I was 14 to help out my family, because my father was unemployed for most of my youth, and then ultimately left the family. And my mom was raising my younger sisters, and things were really precarious. So luckily, I was able to start earning a living, not doing the primary artistic work that I aspired to do, but having other gigs with my violin that could help with the groceries and the utility bills and all of those things. So that was a great blessing. And that also, again, there's always a silver lining to everything. I mean, it was a big responsibility, to have, the monthly rent fall on my shoulders. But on the other hand, getting out and being in the working musician's world, I feel, gave me some insights into the life of a musician that I wouldn't have had if I had just been, with a well-off family and living my entire life in, the cloistered confines of the conservatories.
Now, let's talk about the recorded legacy that you already have. You've made how many recordings at this point?
More than 20.
More than 20.
And actually, the Mendelssohn that I'm doing tomorrow is the next one to come out on Sadie Records. I already recorded it. We're just about done editing it, and it will be the Mendelssohn Concerto paired with the Schumann Violin Concerto, as well as both Beethoven romances. So
Wow. Really
excited about that one, which seemed like the perfect thing to follow the Brahms and Beethoven and Glazunov that I've already done.
Right. And the one that's just coming out, you said next week?
Next week,
I think, is just called,
in time for Mother's Day.
It's called Lullabies. And I've been listening to it in the car as I've been driving around, and found it that it's amazing that with such what could be a really limiting concept, a lot of short, slowish pieces, that you find such variety within the types of composers, the musical genres, the style that you get. How did you decide what to put on that album?
Well, that was really difficult. Being the research geek that I am, I contacted libraries around the world and ultimately compiled more than 150 lullabies, concert music specifically written for the violin by classical composers, all of which were in the genre of the lullaby. So these are not, Rockabye Baby for the violin or something like that. It's a real recital repertoire, but, just like a romance is not a piece written to serenade your beloved. It's a piece in the style of a romance written for a concert. And it's the same thing with these lullabies, though being lullabies, they're also perfectly well suited to not only be performed, but also played for babies and anybody else who wants to relax. So being a new mother myself, I was really excited to find lullabies for my instrument to supplement, the songs that I sing to my baby. Of course, when I'm holding her in my arms, I only have two of those. So if I'm rocking her and nursing her, I can't simultaneously be playing for her. So I thought, well, I sing for her, but I want her to hear my favorite instrument too. So I'll record some lullabies. And they turned out to be, there are so many gorgeous ones that I thought, I have to make this into a real CD and not just record them for my own baby only. I want everybody else's baby and people of all ages who are fans of the violin to be able to hear this gorgeous stuff. There were so many good ones that it was very hard to decide. So I wouldn't say that what's on the album are the best, because there are many more than that that are equally good. It was just finally, I guess, whatever were my favorites the day I picked them, whatever jumped out at me that particular day, ended up making the cut. And yeah, as you said, so much variety of different eras, different countries of origins. I was very happy that a couple of African-American composers and a handful of women composers ended up being included, not by design, but because those were the pieces that I found to be very, very appealing, and they just happened to be by minority composers, which is really great. And yeah, also a mixture of famous and completely obscure composers. You know, so you have Rozwicki and Sibelius and Schumann and Grieg and Stravinsky and Brahms, of course, the biggest figures in classical music. And then you have guys that I had literally never heard of, like Rebikov and Antsev and Ludwig Schwab and Duruswar. So yeah, it's an interesting mix. And I think, you know, there's something so fundamental about a lullaby melody. Our instinct when we're holding an infant in our arms and rocking them with a particular cadence, it's that, you know, just really pure music that these composers are capturing. And obviously very simple, very calm melodies, but also, you know, the same level of sophistication as these same composers, you know, more complex, larger scale works. And yeah, there's so many albums out there that are like synthesized music for your baby and these kind of things, or slow, pretty pieces on the violin, but not pieces that were actually lullabies. And it surprised me that nobody had ever before made a collection of these violin lullabies, but you know, now there is one, and I'm so excited for everybody to get to hear it.
Right, and you said the Brahms, of course, when you said that, and you've brought in the Brahms for us today.
Yes, well, it's a very special connection. Like many people, you know, I sing it to my daughter, the Brahms lullaby. My mom sang it to me, her mom sang it to her, et cetera, so it's a family tradition.
Violinist Rachel Barton Pine with the lullaby by Johannes Brahms. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. The Brahms Lullaby, played by violinist Rachel Barton Pine. She'll be performing Felix Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto with the Lafayette Symphony Orchestra tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Long Center in downtown Lafayette. Tell me just a little bit about the instrument that you played on. It's just an absolutely gorgeous sound.
This instrument, which is on generous loan from my patron, was made in the year 1742 by Guarneri del Gesu. And in the 19th century, it was the concert instrument of Marie Soldat, one of the rare 19th century women violin soloists. Marie Soldat was a protege of Brahms. They were frequent chamber music collaborators, with Brahms playing the piano. Brahms actually found an aristocratic family who agreed to buy an instrument for Marie Soldat's use. And Brahms himself chose this one. So it's just extraordinary to play the beloved Brahms lullaby on the very violin whose voice Brahms selected.
The Mendelssohn Concerto you're playing tomorrow night, it's been a perennial favorite with soloists and audiences pretty much ever since it was premiered. And you've probably played it many times. What keeps bringing you back to it? Do you find something new about it every time? Is it just this world that you can inhabit with this music that's familiar? What attracts you to playing that piece?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, you know, you can never get tired of eating your favorite food. You wouldn't want to eat it, you know, for three meals a day every single day. But, you know, as often as you have it, you know, you're always happy. And it's the same thing with the Mendelssohn Concerto. It just is so beautiful. It just puts you in a good mood. It has a real purity. You know, it's interesting. People will sometimes say, oh, Mendelssohn's music isn't as deep as that of other composers because he was a happy guy. He didn't have the kind of angst, you know, for financial reasons or a troubled love life or whatever other reasons composers have all that Sturm und Drang. Mendelssohn, you know, had a pretty comfortable life. No big complaints. And so people say, well, how can great art come from happiness? Well, why the heck shouldn't joy be as profound as sorrow? And there's something just so touching and beautiful about this concerto. And of course, the last movement is full of high spirits and is just, you know, really, you know, a wonderful romp. And yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those concertos that you play when you're young because technically there aren't as many virtuosic demands. I mean, it's not easy, but it's also not a killer. But then, you know, the older you get, the more difficult it becomes because you realize, you know, to touch its true essence, you know, demands probably greater artistry than any of us ever will possess. And so you just try to get as close to that as you can. And it's one of those perfect pieces that you're just always striving to make better and better as long as you play the violin. So it can never not feel fresh because it's so familiar and yet it always challenges you.
And Rachel, before we let you go, you've brought in some Astor Piazzolla for us to kind of round things out.
Yes, well, I enjoy making many of my own transcriptions in the tradition of the violinists of the past. And so this is actually my own medley combining Piazzolla's Tango Etude No. 3, which is originally for solo flute, and sort of transforming it into how he might have written it if he had written it for the violin. And of course, we have all of the recorded records of his own band, which always included a violinist. So that's what I studied when I was making this version. And it turned out that Tango Etude No. 3 was the same key and tempo as his most famous tango, the Liber Tango, which of course is for an entire tango band. So I've sort of smushed the whole band into my little violin, and this is my Piazzolla medley.
Rachel Barton Pine. Rachel Barton Pine with her Piazzolla medley, as it were, Liber Tango and the Tango Etude No. 3. Before that, lots of pyrotechnics, lots of different techniques that you use. You're on the string, you're above the string.
Those are all effects that Piazzolla had his string players do in his own band. But of course, you know, all the finger twisting polyphonic stuff was my own fault. I always write what I think is going to sound cool, and then I go, oh, darn, now I have to practice, and I have nobody to blame but the composer, meaning me.
Well, more violin pyrotechnics, as it were, on the way with the Felix Mendelssohn Violin Concerto tomorrow night with the Lafayette Symphony Orchestra. Again, Rachel, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Rachel Barton Pine with the Lafayette Symphony Orchestra tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Long Center. She'll be performing Felix Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto in E minor. The program also includes Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony. Ticket information is at 742-6463. I'm Greg Kostraba.